This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 49. And on this episode, we're talking about how do you stand out in a saturated marketplace? Whatever industry you're in, it feels like the internet is louder than ever. So how do you make sales and get business when it's this noisy? Stay tuned to find out. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? I am so excited to be here today because we are talking about something that, well, everybody's talking about. And I think it's time we get really clear about how the heck you are supposed to stand out in a saturated marketplace. Now, I myself am in a B2B business, which means I help other business owners, and that's my business. Some of you might be in business to consumer, but the reality is in 2017, it just feels noisy. There's Instagram and Snapchat and now Instagram Stories and Facebook Live and Twitter Live and email and text marketing and phone marketing and television marketing and newspaper marketing and radio. And oh my gosh, if your head's not just pounding already, ugh, I know mine is. And when it gets this noisy in any space, what we tend to say is, well, how can I sell my product when everybody else is already doing it? And I want to let you in on a little secret. Number one, there is something really fun that we're going to share with you today called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Now, you may not be familiar with the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, though I bet you are and don't even know it. So trust me on this. Sometimes I'm a little unorthodox and you might be like, are we going to talk marketing? We will. But I want you to remember your first car. The first car that you owned or bought, doesn't matter, but one of your first cars. And I want you to remember what happened after you bought that car, right? So you drove it off the lot, or you drove it out of your parking lot, or you drove it from wherever you bought it. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm willing to bet that something really strange happened. It felt as if all of a sudden, everyone owned the same car as you. There weren't this many, you know, Fords on the road before you had it, but now, So what's really cool about this is it's called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, and I hope I'm saying it right, but essentially what it means is that we tend to see more of what we are currently holding in our awareness. So the reality is if you teach people how to start a business, you are in the same company and you're going to see a lot of other people doing the same thing. If you teach health and wellness or you're in a direct sales company, it's going to seem like everybody around you is in that same company, when in reality, 99% of the people in the world don't even associate with whatever that is. So the first thing we have to do before we even start about saturated markets is to understand that, number one, markets, generally speaking, are not as saturated as we think. Simply by being in our market, we already perceive it as more saturated. The Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. So starting your business is just like buying your first car. Suddenly, everybody you know is going to have a business. It's going to feel similar. That's okay. Trust me, there's plenty of space on the internet for everybody. There's billions of people in the world, millions of people in the US. There's enough space for you to market your products. Now, even though I just said that, even though I just told you that it's really not as saturated as we think, the truth is it is a little bit more saturated than it used to be. There's more people selling online courses because the technology is becoming more and more available. There's more people creating digital info products because, again, the technology for that is becoming more available. So we have to realize that, yes, there is some degree of saturation that's happening. It happens everywhere. It's saturation that's going to happen in every perceivable market as they come. People are learning how to use it and therefore taking advantage of it, which is totally fine. So I promised you that on this episode, number one, I'm hoping that we disarmed your fears a little bit and that you're realizing, okay, it might not be as saturated as I fear. And now I want to talk to you about how you can stand out in a saturated market, okay? So I've got five ways that you can stand out in a saturated market, and I just want to go through them one at a time and show you how to implement them in your business so that more people are paying attention. The first thing you can do is solve real problems. I have this saying, I haven't said it in a while. If you've listened to earlier episodes, you heard me say this before. I say, don't create solutions, solve problems. See, what a lot of people do in the online space is they create based on what they know. We hear stuff like you can make money on your knowledge, anybody can teach and make a living. And so we think if we have knowledge and we package it up, we will make money. But what happens is if you simply package up your knowledge and you don't base it on the problems of your audience, all that you're doing is creating more noise. Now, what I mean by this, and hopefully you guys don't mind me using the health and wellness space as my example, we see this a lot in the health and wellness space. You turn around and everywhere you go, it's a detox or cleanse, right? 5-day detox, 7-day detox, 21-day cleanse, 30-day this, right? Now, it's not to say that those things don't sell, but I can tell you from personal experience, both being in the industry, I did a little bit in the health and wellness industry, and having friends in it, that the people who succeed are the ones that solve real problems. Simple Green Smoothie is a fantastic example. They do 30-day green smoothie challenges. Because what that does, if you actually read their website and you read more about them, their challenge isn't about green smoothies, even though it kind of is, right? It's about drinking a green smoothie every day, but it's about making a small change in your health that's doable, making a small change that you have time for, making a small change that helps you lose weight and feel better, making a small change that gives you more energy to spend time with your family. So while everybody else is out there going, do my green smoothie challenge, do my green smoothie challenge, do my green smoothie challenge, the folks over at Simple Green Smoothies realized it's not about the green smoothies. It's about what the green smoothies create and focusing their marketing around that, with a cornerstone being health. So I would challenge you to start thinking about the content and the courses that you offer and asking, am I being dime a dozen or am I solving real problems, right? Another example in, like, let's do social media space is, like, I see a lot of, you know, 5-day Instagram training or sign up for this free Instagram guide, right? I know someone who does really, really well in the Instagram space for hairdressers, because a lot of hairdressers feel like they need to be on Instagram because it's a visual marketing platform, but they don't know how to get clients. And so their freebie is how to use hashtags to get clients in your studio. And their course is Instagram for hairdressers who want more business. Notice how that solves a real problem versus Instagram for business, right? One of the best ways to quiet the noise around you is to cut out the people who are qualified to be listening to that noise. Now, I've shed this pretty shamelessly. We have people in our business and in my courses who are indirect sales, but we don't market to people directly in direct sales or MLM. In fact, our target market is people in online business who want to generate more leads. That is who we write our content specifically to. And so we know what problems are there, we know what problems exist, and we solve those problems versus creating a blog that says, how to get more people on your list. We created an extensive post called How to Get Your First 1,000 People for Your Online Business in Just 3 Months. And we solved every problem along the way, and people have been loving on that content. So the first way that you can stand out in a saturated market is to not create cookie cutter content, but instead to solve real problems. And if you're still at the point where you're creating free content or you're trying to build your email list and you don't have anything for sale yet, I definitely recommend you check out last week's episode if you haven't already on how to create epic content and how to do the research on finding those problems. So let's go to the second piece, which is get testimonials from your audience. And I'm actually going to adjust this a little bit, and I'm going to say get real testimonials from your audience. Something that has become really commonplace in the online space is for people to offer services for free in exchange for testimonials. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I got testimonials in exchange for free service when I was just getting started. Sometimes the perfect person to leave you a testimonial comes along and you have extra time to help them. Sometimes you can help out a friend and they'll give you a testimonial. But what I have found is that when you get testimonials for like a free 15-minute call, it's a super cookie cutter testimonial. Working with Zach is amazing. I got so much clarity and I have a major breakthrough, right? I tend to see the "I have so much clarity now" testimonial everywhere I turn. You need to start getting testimonials that speak to your strengths, why people want to work with you, and the actual results that they had. And that's a big one. Ask people to share the results you're creating for them. It's one of the easiest ways to stand out. So like if you go over to my website, I'm actually going to read you a testimonial from one of my clients, Jamie Dana, who's amazing. Highly recommend that you check her out. Jamie Dana, hairstylist and Instagram expert. Totally awesome. We're going to link her up in the show notes because I love her so much. But I'm going to read you part of this testimonial. Working with Zach was the best decision I made for my business. When I started working with Zach, I basically only had an idea for an online course. But after working with him for only 3 months, I grew my list from 23 to over 3,000 leads. I built out a full online course. I launched that course and I made over $17,000 on my first launch. Zach helped me every step of the way from growing my list to building my course to setting up the plan to executing a profitable webinar with over 950 signups to complete my 17K launch. Working with Zach was one of the best decisions I made for my business. Now, I also want to read you a more general testimonial that I've gotten and kind of show you the difference between the two. This is a testimonial that I got in my business back in 2015 when I was still getting oriented with how to get really great testimonials, but I'll read this one to you to contrast against the other. I would say that my biggest achievement from working with you was successfully engaging my cold audience. I was able to overcome my fear of the unknown, and I'm already getting better results. So notice that stark contrast there. Now, there's nothing wrong with the second testimonial. It's just, it's not relatable. You don't know what I created. You're basically like, so does he make you feel good? Did that guy get results? Whereas when I read Jamie's testimonial, you were like, this is exactly what Jamie created with Zach. There's a lot of kind of, for lack of a better term, fluff-y testimonials out there. And a fluff testimonial makes you part of the noise. So this isn't a bad thing. It doesn't mean that your past testimonials are no good. What it means is, I've got an entire episode you can listen to. I believe it's episode 37. We'll link it up in the show notes about how to get really awesome testimonials. And what you want to do is, if you have testimonials from people that you trust or like or have worked with, go back to them and say, hey, listen, I need to get like stronger testimonials that are really clear and tangible. Would you be willing to do that? Because what makes standout testimonials are they're clear, they're tangible, it shows what they created in working with you, and it shows why they trust you or why they feel it was good. So the one with Jamie was like, he showed me everything step by step, right? That was the big draw for that. So I want you to be thinking about how can I get testimonials that make me stand out? Because the reality is, believe it or not, yes, it's noisy out there, but it's not noisy at the top. One of my favorite sayings is like, it's not loud at the top. It's not busy at the top. It's not noisy at the top. Get testimonials that are like the top 10% of amazing testimonials, and there won't be any competition to stand out against, okay? So number two was get really amazing testimonials. Now, the third way that you can overcome the noise is to get super targeted. Oh, I love me some targeting, and I mean this in every kind of way. Targeting your email list, targeting with your Facebook ads, targeting with your content. This even overlaps a little bit with the solving real problems. But when you're doing a launch, make sure that you are showing up in front of the people who signed up for that launch. So for example, if I do a 5-day challenge, you better believe I'm gonna run ads every day to those people with the daily content. I'm gonna email them every single day. I'm gonna post in that group every single day. If I do a webinar, I'm gonna run ads to remind people to show up for the webinar live. If I'm running a sale, I'm definitely gonna run retargeting ads, right? What I mean by targeting your audience is make everybody who engages with you feel like they're getting a 100% immersed experience with you. So when you're doing something, maybe you only get 100 people signed up for your launch, right? But what can you do to make sure that those 100 people are seeing you everywhere? So sometimes I call this the everywhere factor. So it's combining getting really targeted with who you speak to with making sure that when you're speaking to them, you are everywhere. So to give you like a really, really tangible example, if I write a blog post and I made sure that it solved real problems and, you know, we've already done that, and I want to make sure everyone in my audience sees it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to email my list about it. Then I'm going to post on my Facebook page. Then I'm going to run it as an ad from my Facebook page. Then I'm going to do a live stream and talk about it and run that as an ad to my page. Then I'm going to pin it on Pinterest. Then I'm going to put it in my private Facebook group. Then I'm going to wait a few days. And then I'm going to reference it in some of my other content. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to, in my podcast for that week, reference the content. If I do a webinar, I'm going to reference that content. And so all I'm doing is amplifying the presence of my content. So the way you can think about it is it's noisy out there because we're all operating at like a 3 out of 10 most of the time, a Facebook post, right? We're doing stuff that it gets us seen, but it's low impact. So what we do to stand above the noise is to create content and then market it at an 8 or a 9 so that it's showing up everywhere for people and we're getting really targeted with who's seeing it. You see, people are not just going to accidentally stumble across you. It's not how the internet works as much as I wish it was. You have to go out and actively promote your content, which we talked about in the last episode. But when you're promoting it, you don't need to actively promote it to 10,000 people. If your audience is only at 1,000 right now, ask, how can I make sure that all 1,000 people or as close to possible in my audience see this content? And then do that. So for me, it's live streaming, Facebook ads, and emailing my list, but doing it all on a timeline that helps create massive reach with each single piece of content. All right. So again, easy way to get noisy is to not be noisier than everybody, but be louder on one focused target, to focus all your efforts into one thing at a time so that you're always amplifying your message beyond what the average person is online. All right. So just to recap real quick, number one, if you want to be above the noise, solve real problems, don't just create more solutions. Number two, get real, tangible, high-level testimonials that show people what it's like to work with you so that on your sales pages, on your work with me pages, on your checkout pages, people are getting a real taste of who you are and what it's like to be one of your clients or your customers. Number three, target your audience. Once somebody gets connected with you, do everything in your power to make sure that you are throwing as much freaking value in their face as possible. Because sure, you're going to email them every week, but things like Facebook posts and ads and videos, those aren't going to bother them. They're just going to amplify their experience with you. So let's move on to the final two ways that I recommend you stand out in a noisy marketplace. Number four is be unique. Do something different. And you've probably heard this before, so I want to try and give some legs to this age-old advice, which is do something different to stand out. Here's the thing. Everybody does something different, and then it almost becomes common. So one person that I can think of is Pat Flynn, one of the first people online to do income reports, smart passive income. We'll link it up in the show notes, but he does a monthly income report where you can see how much money he made, what he spent, what his expenses are, how he's scaling his business. And he was one of the first people out there to give people a behind the scenes look at his income. And that was huge for him and his brand because at the time, not everybody was doing it. Now, income reports are way more common in the blogging industry. They're still not super common in the online marketing space. And so they still stand out for Pat. They still let him stand out by being unique, but now more people are doing it. Here is what doing something unique really means at its core. The next time you have an idea for something and you go, oh, but I don't know if that'll work, you do it. That's it. I'm willing to venture that in the past 3 or 4 weeks, you've thought of some crazy cool stuff you could do from the stuff you learned. Doing something unique isn't about being 100% original. It's about connecting the dots in a way that no one before you has. So, one thing that I can give you that's a very tangible example from my business is my 5-day challenge system. Now, 5-day challenges are not new. They've been around for decades, literally decades. They've been in the online space for years. But the way that I approach my challenges is with very specific retargeting, a very specific system, and very specific Facebook ads. And so even though it's a 5-day challenge and it's kind of, you know, relatively simple, we're able to uniquely say we have a system. We have a unique system that no one else is using. And when we sell that product, we sell it at $1,000 for that live course. We sell it for $1,000 and it converts really well. Even though it's not the most original idea in the world, we infuse our own originality into it. And the way that started was because I did my own 5-day challenge and I said, you know, I've never seen anybody do a live stream every day and retarget it this specific way? What if we try that? I've never seen anybody use this kind of landing page at the back end of their challenge. What if we do that? I've never seen anybody do a 2-day cart open on a really short challenge. What if we do that? And we just started testing and playing. So really, if you want to be unique, here's what you have to do. Take your ideas, write them down, and when you find an idea that you don't think you've seen done before and it scares you, try it. Test it out. I love the saying that I like to treat my business like a lab. It's all an experiment. Try new things. You can never be a leader in your industry if you're always following someone else's blueprints. Take someone else's blueprints and add your own flavor. I encourage my students to do this in all of my courses. I say, once you learn the basics of our system, add your own thing to it. I love it when people change our systems because that's how unique things happen. If you want to be unique, you have to find your ideas, find the things that scare you, and do them anyway. And if they work, then you package them up in a blog post, an Instagram post, a course, and you push them out to the world. And if they don't work, you move on to the next idea. I can't tell you how many failed ideas I have had, but now I have a stack of unique offers, unique ideas, unique systems that I can put in front of my audience. Now, this brings us to the last one, which I left for last because I think it's really important, but I also think you might see it as kind of cliche. But being really customer service oriented, it's something that's just uncommon today. So to give you a little background story, just a couple of days ago, I was calling a financial institution that I work with, and it was a nightmare. And their automated system did not hear me, and it could not recognize my voice. And after trying to get to a person after 3 times, their automated system informed me, "We can't understand you, so our automated system is disconnecting you now." Talk about an awful customer experience. Most people just want to talk to a person when they call a number. But when I called, not only did I not get to talk to a person, but the machine I was filtered through hung up on me. Needless to say, I was not thrilled with that experience. Now, unfortunately, that's how most people experience companies these days. It is. You know, we can take a page from Zappos. Zappos has a fantastic book the CEO does about customer service, I believe. But they're all about putting their customer first. And so what I want you to start thinking about is, as you're doing this other stuff that's way more tangible, right? Like finding a unique offering, targeting your people really specifically, solving real problems, getting testimonials. Once people get into your business, do you make them feel like they're first class? Or do you make them feel like they bought a coach ticket? My goal is to make sure that everybody in my business feels like they're having a first-class experience. When we make mistakes, we usually say, "Hey, sorry we messed up. Here's something in exchange for pointing that out to us." We had one person who signed up for one of our courses, and we added them to the wrong course. And they didn't tell us for a couple of weeks because they thought we were fixing it. And after 2 weeks, it turns out they were in the wrong course. And so we just added them to both as an apology. Now, in reality, we lost out on a sale because that person will never buy that second product. However, we got an email back from that person saying, "How kind of you. I appreciate you taking the time to respond personally. Thank you so much for adding me to both courses. I'm a Zach Spuckler fan for life." Here's the way I like to think about my business. I can never measure the impact of a fan for life. Some fans are loud and they scream and they tell everyone how great you are. Some fans are quiet and reserved, and maybe from time to time they'll endorse you in your group, or they'll tell people how great you are, or they'll word of mouth market you. But what I can tell you from personal experience is that when you give somebody a bad experience, if I'd have told that person, "Oh, you're in the wrong course. Sorry, it took 2 weeks. Here's the other course. Let us know if you need anything." And they felt like, "Wow, that sucks." They'll tell everyone. They'll go tell everyone what it was like to work with Zach Spuckler, how awful it was, how they had to wait 2 weeks for a reply because they didn't even get in the right course. But just by changing it, by doing something that maybe cost me a little bit of opportunity, I'm able to change the script to, "Yeah, I actually am in a couple of Zach Spuckler's courses. I actually bought the wrong course, and when his customer service team found out, they gifted me the other one. What an awesome company," right? And maybe that story will never happen. But you guys, some random financial institution whose name I'm not going to mention, I called them out on my show, right? I'm telling people that I had a bad experience. But I don't pop on the phone or my podcast every time I have a good experience. So you see, what I'm essentially getting at is this is kind of that wow factor. If you stack an amazing customer experience in every way possible on top of everything else, you create people that want to talk about you. And let me tell you something. Someone who talks about you is a lot louder than you talking about yourselves in terms of noise in the marketplace. When someone endorses you, you automatically get more clout than when you endorse yourself. So create customers that care. And just a little footnote on this, this does not mean you need to have beautiful courses and amazing images and a team of 1,000 people. It means you take the time to do the personal stuff. It means that you reply to the email that doesn't require a reply because someone's a fan. It means that even though somebody's on day 31 of the refund policy, if they emailed you that their daughter was in the hospital and that they need that money back, you give them the refund. You do the right thing to create a positive experience for your audience. And that combined with everything else will create a 5-star company. That's my belief, and it's what I'm hoping to impart on you. So before we wrap this up, let's just run through real quick the 5 ways that you can stand out in a noisy or saturated marketplace. Number 1, solve real problems, stop creating more solutions. Number 2, get real, tangible, groundbreaking testimonials that make people want to work with you. Number 3, target the people you're marketing to. Go all out. There's no rule that says you need to sell to 10 million people. If you only have 100 people to market to, market to them like your life depends on it. You can't be loud for everybody, but you can be loud to a select group of people. Number 4, make sure that you have unique positions for your offer. Do things that make you different. You can never be a leader if all you ever do is follow. But there's nothing wrong with following and forging your own footsteps off the path. And then finally, once you do those 4 things, make sure that you're creating an amazing customer experience. Because the reality is, a good customer experience creates good word of mouth marketing, or can. It's almost guaranteed that a bad customer experience creates bad marketing. So get out there, make an impact. I hope that this helps. We referenced a ton of stuff in this show. So if you go to heartsoulhustle.com/49, you can get the show notes for this episode. Again, it's heartsoulhustle.com/49. Now get out there, make some noise, and you don't have to be the loudest. You just have to be the highest value. And you have everything you need inside of you to do that. Get out there, create value, and create change. And I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.